Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to call the May 21st meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call of members. Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I am here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Herrera will be a few minutes late. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Clairborn?
Present.
Mr. McKenna will be arriving later this evening. Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa has asked to be excused. Mr. Stein?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
12 members present.
Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
And I have a few proclamations to read. I will start with Older Americans Month. Lisa Holmes, come on up. We had a great luncheon today for the Office of the Aging annual luncheon. Very enjoyable. Whereas Tompkins County is a community that includes over 16,000 citizens aged 60 and older, and whereas Tompkins County is committed to valuing all individuals and recognizing their ongoing life achievements, and whereas the older adults in Tompkins County play an important role in continuing to contribute experience, knowledge, wisdom, and accomplishments, and whereas our older adults are active community members involved in volunteering, mentorship, arts and culture, and civic engagement, and whereas recognizing the successes of community elders encourages their ongoing participation and further accomplishments, and whereas our community can provide opportunities to allow older citizens to continue to flourish by emphasizing the importance of elders and their leadership by publicly recognizing their continued achievements, presenting opportunities for older Americans to share their wisdom, experience, and skills, and recognizing older adults as a valuable asset in strengthening American communities. Now, therefore, I, Martha O. Robertson, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim May 2013 as Older Americans Month in Tompkins County and urge every citizen to take this month to honor older adults and the people who serve and support them as powerful and vital citizens who greatly contribute to our community.
Thank you, Martha. Thank you very much for issuing this proclamation in honor of Older Americans Month. And as Martha mentioned earlier today, the Office for the Aging held our annual luncheon where we honored three outstanding older adults, Sue Ford as Senior Citizen of the Year, and Ilma Levine and Debbie Levin with outstanding contribution by a senior. And it was just three outstanding, remarkable individuals who have contributed so much to our community. So, and I know that there are many, many more out there who contribute day in and day out to our community. So I appreciate this time to recognize them. And I also am grateful that the Office for the Aging exists for older adults when they need it, when they need services. So again, thank you very much for recognizing the contributions of older adults in our community.
Thank you, Lisa. And Lee Dillon from Tompkins Community Action. Whereas community action agencies were created when the Economic Opportunity Act of 1964 was signed into law, and whereas Tompkins Community Action represents this national network in Tompkins County and has a 47-year history of partnering with households with low incomes to promote self-sufficiency, and at least 18,570 Tompkins County residents live on incomes at or below the federal poverty guidelines, and whereas Tompkins Community Action has made an essential contribution to individuals in Tompkins County by providing innovative and cost-effective programs to attain skills and knowledge to secure opportunities necessary to become self-sufficient, and whereas all people, regardless of income, deserve opportunities to improve their lives, thus ensuring that all the county citizens are able to live in dignity, and whereas Tompkins County, New York State, and the entire United States must continue to wage war on poverty
by providing support and opportunities for all citizens. Now, therefore, I, Martha O. Robertson, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, in recognition of the hard work and dedication of Tompkins Community Action, do hereby proclaim the month of May 2013 as Community Action Month in Tompkins County.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the proclamation. I'm coming to you again. Hopefully you've received your invitation to our 47th annual meeting, which will be on May 31st at the main offices on Spencer Road. So if you haven't been to the main offices on Spencer Road, this would be a great time to come over. We also have a new Head Start classroom that is just a house over that we'll be giving tours also. At our annual meeting every year, we give away the Joe Cassanetti Youth Service Award. And this year, this is going to go, well, it's a secret, because I don't think Miles knows yet, so don't tell anyone. Miles Brouse will be receiving it for his outstanding service to our community, a senior this year. And also, we're honoring with the Community Action Award the Lions Club of Ithaca, which has been performing vision screenings for Head Start children for the past 5 to 7 years, I think. So please come over. Thank you for your continued support, and I hope I see you on the 31st. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Lee.
Thank you, Martha.
And is there anyone here from the Mental Health Awareness Agency,
the Mental Health Association.
Mental Health Association. Come on up.
Hi.
And I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
My name's Catherine Wedge.
Catherine Wedge. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Whereas the belief that persons with mental illness are dangerous is a significant fact in the development of stigma and discrimination toward them, and whereas the effects of stigma are profound, leading to others avoiding living, socializing, or working with, renting to, or employing people with mental disorders, especially severe disorders such as schizophrenia, and whereas stigma deters the public from seeking or paying for care, since most citizens believe those with mental illness are dangerous, and whereas the facts established by solid research indicate that such a belief is a myth, with the reality being that people with mental disorders have a 4.9-fold increased risk of dying from homicide committed against them, irrespective of sex, age, or other sociodemographic characteristics. And whereas preventive interventions targeting common underlying risk factors in people with a mental illness have a great potential to reduce violent death among them, prolong their lives, and to enable them to become or return to being integrated, productive members of the community. Now, therefore, I, Martha O. Robertson, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim May 2013 as Mental Health Awareness Month in Tompkins County and call upon the citizens, government agencies, public and private institutions, business and schools to recommit our community to increasing awareness and understanding of mental health, the steps our citizens can take to protect their mental health, and the need for appropriate and accessible services for all people with mental health conditions.
I thank the legislature. You have always been supportive of mental health and provided great services. We're among the most highly and best serviced county in New York State. I credit you all with that and your the predecessors also for supporting the cause of mental health and mental health intervention. I see a few of you that I recognize from the old days. I also want to thank you very much. Our director of 17 years retired in December. Her name was Beth Jenkins. I'm sure many of you remember her fondly. She is in Trumansburg. She's doing very well. We have a new interim director. His name is James Root, and we'd love to see you stop down to our offices there in the basement of the Henry St. John building. So again, thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for coming. All right. I have a couple people on privilege of the floor, and then I'm going to reorder the agenda significantly. We have our budget resolution I, and I understand some people have to leave early, so I want to make sure we get to that as quickly as we can, although if some people haven't arrived, then I don't know how we'll split the baby there. But so we will probably take the budget resolution I first, and then we would take a presentation and a CPR report and resolution. So, Graham, if that's okay with you, and Arel, where's Arel? Arel, not here. Okay. All right. The privilege of the floor, David Smith, and then Brian Zapp.
Thank you, Martha. I'm here this evening really just to say thank you for your support of Tompkins Learning Partners. We're a literacy organization, adult literacy primarily. We serve folks who were born here in the United States that maybe just didn't for some reason quite learn how to read or write. There are folks out there like that. Sometimes they hide that very well. And also immigrants and refugees from often 28 different countries we see pass through our door, folks who need to learn to read, write, speak English. And also with Catholic Charities, we're collaborating with them to gain their citizenship to become future voters. I believe 12 folks last year who we served in that way became citizens here in the United States. So, again, the support you give us makes a difference in their lives and helps them become more fully functioning folks here in Tompkins County. I'd be remiss to not say that the people that we serve are served by volunteers. We have about 100 volunteers who tutor or work with small groups. And another recent new initiative is some emphasis on math for women. We have a small group for women who are afraid of math, who need help with math. Frankly, I was never great at math myself. Thank goodness for spreadsheets and formulas. But that's something that we often don't think about in regards to literacy. But you need to be able to do math. You need to be able to use computers. And we're blessed to have wonderful volunteers who help us fulfill our mission, and we're blessed to have your support. So I just wanted to come by and say thank you, and hope that later on this summer you can come by our agency. We're fortunate to have a building donated to us, and it's being renovated to better fulfill our needs and the needs of our students and tutors, and I'll be sure you get an invitation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Brian.
Hello and good evening. I'm Brian Zaff, and I'm here this evening to give you a quick outline and an update of the VITA program, that's Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, that the Alternatives Impact and Alternatives Federal Credit Union runs. We've just completed another season, so I do have some numbers to share. But I also wanted to, so some of you might not know what it is that we do, and what we do is we prepare income tax returns for free for anyone earning less than $51,000 in the county. The reason we do that is that there are a lot of programs that are run through the tax system. And a lot of those programs are really beneficial for people who are in need. The average family-adjusted gross income of the folks, the clients that we serve, is under $17,000. So the program is there to make sure that people, access the tax system and actually file the returns and get that refund. This past year, we had over 60 volunteers who put in over 1,800 hours, actually over 1,900 hours, preparing over 1,800 returns. So we do that at the credit union. We also recognize that we do need to do some rural outreach. So we have satellite sites in Groton, in Dryden, and in Brooktondale. We're looking to expand those sites, make them permanent, and also to expand to some other towns. So that said, I also like to say that the county generously gives us some support. We're very grateful for that. I want to thank you for that. In return, we brought over $2.3 million in refundable credits to the county. Refundable credits meaning that's not money that would have come in if people hadn't filed the returns. So that's money that the state and the federal government gives to families to support them that they can only access through the tax code. So that's why we do what we do, and we think we've been pretty successful at it. We're always looking to promote the program So any way that you can do that, we appreciate. We're also always looking for volunteers. Volunteers go through training. They have to be certified. They have to pass a test in order to prepare the returns. So they put in hours and hours of work before they even come to work for us. So, again, thank you for your support. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I'm also going to give you a thing that says a lot more than what I just said.
Thanks very much, Brian. Anyone else like to address the legislature? Dan from the town, Danby. Dan, would you like to shot as a municipal official? Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Dan Klein. Last legislative meeting, Carol Chalk gave an update on the Solarize organization. I just wanted to give a quick status update on that. As a reminder, this is a volunteer organization that is helping people to get solar panels on their houses in Tompkins County. Right now, it's just the towns of Danby, Caroline, and Dryden. There's been a series of meetings. There's a meeting tonight in Danby, and then one more next Wednesday in Danby, and that's the last meeting. To date, they have had 90 people fill out enrollment forms, which is amazing, and I know that there are more out there that are interested that haven't filled it out yet. It doesn't mean 90 are going to get solar panels, but that's a really good number to start with. And one thing that hasn't been widely publicized is that there is a grant was received to subsidize low-income households that are interested in participating in this program. So there are 15 designated spots for low-income households. So if you know people in Danby, Caroline, or Dryden that are potentially interested in this but are immediately turned off by the cost, then you should still encourage them to fill out the enrollment form and see what's in it for them. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. So the 15 low-income, is there somebody has to own the home? Has to be a homeowner?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And do you have a sense of what qualifies as low income, what the level is?
I don't know what the cutoff is, yeah.
80% of median income, I believe.
Okay. 80% of median income.
Depending on your family size.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dan. Any other questions for Dan? Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to have the report. All right. I would like to take us to. All right.
While we're on this, can I just add some information to what Dan just?
I think we're going to do legislative privilege of the floor at the end of these critical issues that we want to get through. So thanks, Carol. We'll get to you. All right. Budget Chair, Chair of Budget, Capital, and Personnel, Jim Dennis. Resolution.
Okay. Thank you very much. We have three fairly significant resolutions to take a look at. Let me just start with the establishment of the 2014 county financial goal, and I would move that. And I am offering the amendment proposed by Dooley Keeper.
Thank you. Is there a second? Second by Brian. All right, well, people look for the amendment that was in your red folder.
May I make a comment while we're looking? There are some changes from what was in the packet, and I would... we had a number of 4%, and Dooley added some different language and some reasons why she put that resolution together. And so it would make sense to me if she wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, for me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, well, if you look at the first several whereases in the resolution, there are different percentages given, but nowhere are those percentages added together. And it seemed reasonable to me to point out that the total maintenance of effort budget would be just under 4.5%, and to restate that and say, although that amount is justifiable, we're asking for a lower amount.
All right, discussion. Leslie and Pat.
So, Julia, I appreciate your work on this very, very much. Because I came in here prepared to move an amendment for that up to be 4.5% as opposed to 4%. but I probably can live with the explanation that's in here so that the general public understands what it is we're doing. Thank you.
Pat.
I understand that we don't know for sure yet what the tax cap for the county will be, but I wonder if we have any even guesstimate at this point as to what our tax cap might perhaps be, what the range it might fall in this year.
Joe?
We did back of the napkin work today, and I wouldn't characterize it as any more scientific than that. And based on a couple of things that are going on, the first is the rate of inflation is actually less than 2% right now. So in terms of the starting point in the calculation, it's less than 2%. Pensions are going up, but they're not going up by enough to create the carve-out, the threshold in the cap calculation. So for the purpose only of an educated guess, it's looking to be around 2.5% for next year.
Okay, thank you. And 2.5 because of the new growth?
2.5 because of new growth. Again, it'll start lower than 2% because the cap begins at the lesser of 2% or inflation.
Okay.
You've got new lumber that factors in there. And again, all of you, and I'm not trying to get it more confusing than it needs to be, but you remember last year the new twist was we also have to factor in how much towns apply their sales tax as an offset or credit against the county tax levy. So all of these things go into the mix. So the best we can do right now, and solid numbers won't be known until August, is to give you our best educated guess, and for now it's 2.5 or so percent.
2.5 or so. I've got Jim, Peter, Mike.
Let me explain the 4.0 that is in the resolution, if I could. We have three things that are driving this budget considerably. One is some capital costs that we've already built the project, or we're building the projects, and we've committed to spending the money. It's roughly $327,000 a year. Our health costs have gone up this year, $860,000. And our pension costs have gone up, $570,000. And if you talk about the maintenance of effort budget for the department, add that in with the three things that I just mentioned, and we come to 4.0. And the interesting part of that is the departments still have to take a cut to be able to reach that 4% number that we're talking about. And it's roughly, and we'll deal with that in another resolution, the fiscal targets for each department, it's roughly a $200,000 difference in what they're doing now. So that explains, I believe, the 4%.
All right. Important to have those numbers. Thanks very much, Jim. Peter, Mike, and Carol.
No, I don't have a question anymore.
Mike.
I'm a little troubled by Dooley's changes, inserting the word justified. What is justified? It says a 4.5% is justified. What about an equivalent cut? Is that justified? I really think that the original resolution was probably better than to add this, which is sort of saying that, well, we could have asked for even more. And I don't think that that's a great idea.
Well, I noticed that Dooley used the word justifiable in describing it. So I don't know if that would make a difference, if that were the word instead. And I don't know if anybody's willing to make that suggestion or amendment.
I'm happy with that word, too. It doesn't matter. You want me to move that? I will substitute justifiable for justified. The point of the language that I added was that if you're going to describe a maintenance of effort, that usually means keeping what you have. And the earlier whereas is described what those pieces are, and that's how it's justifiable. But we're not trying to justify it by setting that number.
So that's a motion to change justified to justifiable?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
It's friendly, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Friendly to Brian?
I'm all about endings.
Brian's good with that. All right. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Then Carol.
So some of this discussion leads into the issues that I have with the way that we're setting the goal for this year. I hate to have Joe not get to hear this. The fact that it would take 3.5 or 4% to maintain effort, and then another 0.5% or 1% to do just even a few of the, a small amount towards a few of the things that we know need doing, such as help the library, and such as TC3, and you name your topic, we can all find reasons that we're not doing enough in a lot of areas. And so I believe that we have to leave more room than this resolution leaves for the new and the unexpected. The problem that I have with it is the spread between the 3.5% that we're saying, let's tell our department heads they need to stick to that number, and the 4% that we end up with. And I'm not sure exactly whether it's better to fix that problem, whether I would prefer to fix that problem by lowering that bottom number or by raising the top number. I know that our residents have a hard time coming up with the difference. Each year it feels like it's a small difference, but when you add them from year to year, the difference gets bigger. 2.5%, if that's really what the percentage increase will be, I could live with that, and I think my residents could as well. But this spread, it's a shame that once again we're boxed in by tough times and decisions that are made by New York State and not by us. But we are. And because we've done things and set a budget for our departments one way for the, I don't know, past decade or so, at a certain level, and said, here, we have to talk about it in terms of their maintenance of effort, because we've done it that way last year or last decade is not enough of a reason to continue those same things without taking a harder look at which of those things at the margins, which would be over target requests, need doing, and which can make way for some of the new things that we might need to do, like the library, like TC3, like the decision that came out this week on the Lansing plant. I'd love to see us go to them and say, let's help you with some technical support to figure out how can we come back to New York State with a plan to put some more renewable energy on that site. If you're going to go another way with transmission lines and not with natural gas, what can we do as a community? So we could pick our issue, and now isn't the time to figure out which of those we can afford to fund. But the target that we set and the ways in which we ask our administrators to set their budgets, we are deciding now whether we're going to leave ourselves any leeway in the fall without going way above the target that we set today. So I would like to see us either set the number at 3%, that lower number for our departments, and then keep the number where it's come out of committee at 4%, or keep the number at 3.5% for our departments and raise this to 4.5% as Leslin was saying she was thinking as she came in here. I think the former is more doable. So if I hear, I don't know if I'm going to move it yet.
I was just going to ask if you had an amendment.
So, I can try this. I would like to amend the 3.5 number to 3.0 while keeping the number that we asked Joe to come to in the end at 4. Our target is 4, but our departments are asked to prepare a budget at 3%. It still only leaves us, what, $380,000 to do anything new, to take care of any of these things I've been talking about.
Okay, let's see if we have a second.
That is line 45, that the 3.5 goes to 3.0. Is there a second? Okay.
So shall I try it the other way?
If you'd like.
Okay. Then I will try and say that the because of people seem to be accepting all these changes that that really we it would take 4.5% to do the kinds of things we need to do, I'll move that we raise that upper number, whatever line that is, to 4.5%.
So would that be line 41 and line 41. 3 on the next page? I think.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
All right. Is there a second for that? 4.5 going in two places. Leslie, was that a second?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's an amendment on the floor. Brian, did you have your hand up?
I did. I was just wondering if there was an amendment in there somewhere, but it came up.
Okay. Jim.
I would hope that you support the 4.0 and Dooley's resolution the way we looked at it. All of you who know the history of the county legislature know that when we come with a number and the budget number is made up, that we then have 13, 14 meetings, and the meetings are full of OTRs, and they're usually debated at length, and somehow they get added on or not, and that number goes up then, that 4.5 number that we're looking at now or in this resolution. I would hope that you leave it at 4, you let the departments deal with what they have to deal with in this, and then do the budget process to add or subtract what you're going to do. And I think a 0.5% is $200,000, roughly $218,000, but you allow the departments to deal with the first number that we have, and we will do the budget in September, knowing full well what the tax cap is, all the other things at that point. So I would hope you would support the amended resolution.
Thank you, Jim. Wait. Support you do not want to support the amendment.
The four.
You want Dooley's. Okay.
The four.
Pam.
Sorry. The original.
Right.
Well, my thinking is different than Jim's on this. I think that if we the lower percentage that we start off with our department heads, the more OTRs we will get over target requests for the general public out there. That there is an inverse proportion to this, and I have problems when we go through every year with our department heads just a huge amount of time and money that they put into trying to do with less and less and less, which in there are times when that has to happen. But I think there's a point at which our programs become less effective. What we are trying to accomplish as a county is less when we have squeezed them so much. And the fact is that we have we have been unable to fulfill our obligations on some level with TC3. I think that is a serious obligation on our part, and I think and our Tompkins County Library, and those are things that are also demanding our attention. I think that this is a reasonable decision. I'd like to keep our tax levies within a certain amount, you know, so that we aren't creating an undue burden in our increases. But this is the reality of what we have before us, and I think that pretending that we don't have that reality is unrealistic.
Okay. Anyone else? Carolyn.
I just wanted to clarify which lines you had me changing. What I'm looking at is the spread. So I was not changing line 45. I was changing line on the second page, line 3.
I think it also makes sense to change 41 on the first page.
41, okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Dooley?
Well, my heart is with the 4.5%. I am concerned that this discussion could go on for a very long time when we're missing less than a full house of legislators. I am very aware that our departments have had to cut and cut and cut and go through a really painful exercise which affects staff morale a lot for the last several years. So I would rather have the departments do less cutting. And in terms of Carol's motion, if you want to change the spread, I would do it by raising the higher number. So I'm willing to vote for that to show my support for that concept, but I don't expect it to pass, and I am happier with doing what I think the majority of the legislature is likely to support, which is in Jim's resolution.
Okay.
Martha, could you read the proposed amendment, please?
Starting on line 39, whereas although based on what is known at this time, a tax levy increase of approximately 4.5% is justifiable, it is the desire of the legislature to review a budget inclusive of critical needs that may be identified by the county administrator that can be supported with a tax levy increase of no more than 4.5%. Now, therefore, be it. The first resolved is unchanged, and the second resolved, that line 3 says, provided that his total recommended, resolved further that the county administrator is authorized to consider and include in his 2014 recommended budget additional items that he deems to be critical needs, provided that his total recommended budget not require a tax levy increase in excess of 4.5% over the 2013 levy.
Thank you.
There's no... Okay, yeah?
Can I add something? This is the first step in a long process. Some of us have been involved in these, all of us, in, for quite some time. I think... setting some parameters is always important. And frankly, I think after the deliberations that some of us went through at a previous meeting, that there were some very good discussion that went on at that time and some in-depth and passionate pleas. I think just setting parameters does not set the budget. And all we're doing is setting guidelines. But I think it's important that we give Joe and his staff and the department heads an opportunity to walk through this and come back with a proposal or several proposals that we can deliberate. My guess is we'll be at this well into the fall, and there'll be some proposed changes. We don't even have all the, unless David works his magic again, we don't have all of the final numbers on the sales tax either. So I would suggest we leave it just the way it was proposed with Dooley's suggested changes and go with the resolution as it was presented by Jim and amended by Dooley.
All right. Any other discussion? Kathy?
I apologize for being late. I had to go vote in the school board election. Is this the main motion on the floor right now as amended?
What's on the floor is the amendment to change those two spots where it used to say 4.0 to 4.5. That's the amendment. So the next thing is to vote on that amendment.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. Let's vote on whether to accept that change of 4.5% as the total target. All in favor, please raise your hand. Wait. All right. Confusion?
Yeah. Is this Dooley's?
No.
Dooley's was accepted as friendly.
It's Carol.
Okay.
Right. Dooley's language was incorporated as friendly. This is only to change the total number to 4.5. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. Opposed. Uh, I have 5-9 that that fails. All right. Any other discussion? Ready to vote on the main motion? Pat?
I'd like to... Okay, this is on the whole thing now, right?
Correct.
Okay. I want to say that I appreciate many of the things that have been said here tonight, particularly about the difficulty and challenges that have happened for our departments over the past few years since the recession and since the cutbacks that we have had to have. I'm also glad that someone reminded us of the fact that whatever we set here tonight, our pattern has been that that gets raised before we get finished with the process, simply as a result of the process that we go through. The other thing that I appreciated was that Carol mentioned the fact that there are people out there in the community that have to live with the results of what we do, and that some of them are really having a very hard time right now. I was a little disappointed that that fact wasn't brought up by anyone else, and I appreciate you doing that, Carol. While we sit here, we work with these figures. We work with people from the departments. We understand the need. We know how much the dollars are needed. We appreciate the service that people provide for the county very, very much. And yet at the same time, we need to think just as carefully about the taxpayers out there that are going to have to pay for this. I doubt that many of them are going to see a paycheck that increases by 4% next year, or 4.5%, or 5%, or wherever we end up with this process. And in fact, some of them are really going to be hurting because of the burden of combined taxes, not even so much the county tax, but the county tax in combination with school taxes. And town taxes usually aren't, a huge amount, but school taxes can be a very big burden in some of our districts. So I am not going to be able to support the figures that are proposed here tonight. And it is not because I don't appreciate what the county offers and what our county staff does and the agencies that we support with the dollars that they're given, but simply because I see another audience out there besides just our internal county folks. And I think that this is not something that we should ask them to support.
Thank you, Pat. Leslin, Mike, and Dooley.
Thank you so very much, Pat, for your thoughts on this. Every year since I've been on this legislature, this is probably the hardest time, I get all antsy about, because there's that thing about trying to balance what you said with the other side of it and the people out there who are in need as well. And the more and more that we cut our services, our departments will do the hard work. And, I'm not that concerned with the fact that they have to do some hard work and find places to cut. It's a difficult task, and they will do whatever it is we tell them to do because our staff is very dedicated. And I know they'll do that work. But what I see happening and what I hear happening is the other side of what you're talking about is the people, the large numbers in our county who more and more services are being taken away, more and more is being cut, and they're not able to get that. And those are the people who are really on the bottom end of the totem pole. Year to year, I think, where can we go? And I wish we all have thought about, where is that progressive tax, or where can we go to get something that's not as difficult and regressive and painful as property taxes? Goodness knows I feel it. I live in the city of Ithaca. Between the school district, the county, the city taxes, it's hard. No doubt about it. And we recognize that. Carol has spoken about that before. But it's a hard balance when I think of the other folks on the other end of the poverty line who need our support, and we cut and we cut and we cut and we cut and we cut. So I can appreciate your point of view, but here's another one from where I sit.
Thank you, Leslin. Mike?
Well, I think Leslin and Pat just spoke eloquently our dilemma whenever we do a budget, because it's exactly what both of them say. It's a tough year, even though we're optimistic because we hear what's going on at the stock market and other things. But the reality is we've still got these huge payroll costs that we have to provide for. And we just can't ask the taxpayers to go a large percentage increase on the real property taxes as to justify that. We have to go to the departments and say, it hurts, but be careful again for us. Where can we cut back? I, too, have a problem with 4%, Pat. I can't think of the folks in Dryden and Freeville being able to support that big a figure at this point. And so I'd like to see the goal smaller. So even though I think that the effort here, the retreat we had, and discussed this thoroughly, I was one that wanted to see it a little lower, and I think I still am.
Thank you, Mike. I've got Dooley and then Brian, and I'll weigh in.
I was pleasantly surprised to see the Ithaca City School District's tax increase for the coming year being, I think, 1.1%, mm-hmm. which is a change from past years.
Oh, yeah.
It's the school taxes that are by far the biggest burden on residents. Our county taxes are maybe 20%. Theirs are over 50%. But I'm finding myself trapped in this whole business of talking about percents, which to me is not real money. And so I don't know if Joe is prepared or not, but I'm going to ask him if we know what the famous median house costs in our county and how much money is involved in 4%.
We had Jay Franklin take a look at the median value of a single-family home. It's 163. We've been using 160 for the last couple of years, so it's 163. And I believe the impact of a 4% increase is a little bit over $45. I've got 45.13. Kevin, I don't know if that fits to your number at 4%. We'd originally said, because we were using 160, $44.30. So I've revised that upwards to reflect a slightly higher median value of a home, and it's $45.
Thank you. So when we talk about whether individuals' incomes go up by a certain percentage, what we're really talking about is the average of $45. Okay, thank you.
Brian?
Thanks. I guess I'm with Mike and Carol. I've been thinking all along that four would be for most folks, it just sounds high. You know, you can explain that it's only $44, and I understand all that. And to Pam's point, I guess I don't mind making the number lower and going ahead with the exercise of letting the departments do their work. See if they can be creative, more creative. They've been creative, and justify back some of those costs versus going to a true maintenance of effort. I don't think it doesn't lessen OTRs. Instead of bringing them back, you still have OTRs, but they want a little more. Which is normal. I mean, that's natural. So I guess as we're discussing all of this, you know, I'm just thinking about the folks that I represent, and it just sounds high. I don't have an amendment. I'm just putting that out there. And I don't mind the exercise of listening to our department heads and then us collectively making our own decisions one by one on those.
Okay, I'm going to weigh in a little bit, and then Peter, and then Kathy. I was going to ask Joe a question, but I'll come back. I appreciate Jim giving the dollars on health insurance and pensions, the increases. I believe you said before that the health insurance cost of $860,000 is up 9.5%.
Yeah, we're assuming that our health costs are going to go up by 9.5%.
That's 9.5% for health insurance.
Right.
And the pensions, the increase of 570 is what percent?
It's close to 10%.
10% increase. And we do expect that as we're working, we're finally getting toward the light at the end of the tunnel and working through the collapse of the stock market so that next year might be is likely to be easier on the pensions.
That's right. We think this is the last year the pensions are going to climb, and after 2014 they'll begin to decline because of increases in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. I feel that this is it is really a big problem to, as Leslie and Pat laid out both sides of it. I would point out, I believe the school district used more than $1 million in reserves to lower their levy increase. I tried reading the document we got in the mail, and so Ithaca Schools threw $1 million into the, from reserves, and schools aren't going to be able to continue to do that. So, Peter, and then Kathy Lewis.
I just wanted to weigh in on the statement that Brian made a couple of minutes ago, namely, it sounds high, but it isn't, 4%. It sounds high, but it isn't, because it's only, whatever, $50, $40. Well, the fact of the matter is, it sounds high because it is high. The $50 is not a thing that makes any sense. There's no way to compare it to anything to know whether $50 is big or not. $50 is big if it's what you pay for a Coke. There's no way of taking $50 as an absolute sum of money. We all know that we haven't seen 4% salary raises in a long time, and we're not apt to see them for a long time in the future. There are lots and lots of forces which are keeping down salary increases. 4% is a lot of money compared to the sources of income, the percentage increase in the sources of income that people have. So it's big, 4%.
Thank you, Peter. Joe, you had a...
Just a couple of thoughts, if you don't mind. And you're having the right debate. I mean, this is the right discussion to have when we do these levy calculations. But just a couple of things that I'd ask you to keep in mind. Jim hit the major points, which is the 4% is pretty easily explainable. And these are not small numbers. The capital plan. This county has made a commitment to reinvest in its infrastructure. We've had to back away from those kinds of investments over the past few years when things get tough. This county has made a commitment to reinvest in its infrastructure, some of which we're choosing to do, some of which we have to do. We've been evicted from this building. And we've had to invest in the courthouse renovations and in COFA, and now we need to begin to pay for that. So a part of what we're doing is to reinvest in public infrastructure. Health benefits, pension costs, those three things explain the full 4%. There are a lot of other things going on in our budget that we're able to balance, that we can balance. Our employees are getting a little bit of wage growth next year, but I'd ask you to keep in mind, put that into context, that next year, most of our employees save two unions, so all of the rest of our employees will make 4% more than they made 5 years before. 5 years before. So they're up 4% over where they were in 2009, and some of that has been eroded because they're contributing more toward the cost of their own health benefits in 2013 and again in 2014 than they did before. So in terms of folks who follow this discussion wanting to know you know, what is the county doing to try to keep its budget in line? I think we've given a lot of credit to our employees for being constrained in what they've asked for, and we've been able to negotiate very restrained deals with them. And we're providing those modest increases to a labor force that is diminished significantly from where it was back in 2009. One out of every 12 jobs that existed in this county in 2009 don't anymore. We've reduced our workforce by 8% over that short period of time. So again, in terms of what the county is doing to try to mitigate these kinds of increases, we've done a great deal over the past few years to do that. We're going to be losing some pilot revenue from AES next year. We need to cover that in our budget. There are some other things going on that we have to deal with, but we're able to do that. It's those big three that we're struggling with: capital infrastructure, health benefits, and pensions. The other thing that's a part of what you're being asked to consider tonight are a few critical needs. Last year we called these cracks and fissures. As you recall, we realized we had cut too deep in some areas and we needed to put a little bit back. This year we've identified a few critical needs, and that's that extra half point that's in the levy. And there are a few critical needs. I think we'd all acknowledge, Pam talked about TC3 and the library and some agencies. So we'll try to deal with that as well. So again, I know this is a very difficult decision, and Peter's right, four is four. It isn't a small number. At the same time, I believe with that 4%, we should be able to sustain current operations. We will be asking our departments to cut another $200,000 from their budgets to be able to meet that 4%. But again, I think with a 4%, we should be able to keep things at the diminished level that we have in the 2013 budget. So I just wanted to add those points.
Thank you, Joe. I've got Kathy, Luce, Jim, and then Frank.
Thank you. I don't know what was said before, but I figured I would explain where I'm at and why. First, I'll give a little history lesson. When I got on the legislature, it seemed to me at that time that the way we went about figuring out what our tax levy increase was going to be is that everybody said what they'd like to have and need to have and wanted to have, and we got that all in a pile, and we said, okay, let's try to do that. And then we tried to take out what we thought we could. Now, y'all know what would result from that, and it did. We had some tough times. We had the luxury at that time to be able to use some really high tax levies and keep the quality of life here in Tompkins County good. But it had a price, and one of those prices was it raised up the costs of houses here. We've tried in the past two terms or so to really be cognizant of what we're doing and to learn ourselves from the department managers and from the agencies what's going on with them and what it'll mean to them if we were to impose a certain kind of tax levy. While we're getting educated, we're also talking to the public, because after all, everybody has to live with it. What we're also doing is talking amongst ourselves, because there's a way that we've got to be unified. And when we set a goal like this, we're not head faking. We're sending out a pretty clear message. This is where we are going forward. And it makes a process that I really like, when government takes steps and steps so that people get a chance to adjust to it and say, hey, how about this situation? How about that? We learn things and we go forward. 4% is okay with me. There's a lot of things you could say on either side. I will say that I'm always concerned about setting up a public hearing and going ahead and saying you're going to exceed the tax cap when we don't even know what it is yet. We'll be discussing that later on, but I think those are two different issues. And I just want to say I think the department heads and Joe have made a pretty good case right now. We don't really know what we're dealing with, but I think 4% will give us our maintenance of effort. It'll help us have a little bit of slack for the things, some of which are known and some of which are the unknowns that aren't known, and some of which the knowns are known, but we're not sure of them yet. And we'll be able to, that was a joke, everybody. It took a long time. A couple of people woke up. Other than that, we've got a lot coming on. And it isn't really funny, because we're dealing with people's lives and livelihoods here. And yet, we have to do this every year, and so we're trying to do it in a transparent way. And yeah, it's painful, and it's painful for us too, but we're just trying to be as transparent as we can. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Jim, then Frank.
I will give my time to Frank.
Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I said before, we're at the very beginning of a long process. Every year, some of us try, myself included, to have the program committees get more involved in the budget process. And Patricia Carey, who is sitting in the back, brings to the Health Committee every month a set of statistics that show that the numbers in social services, although we'd like to see them going down, are not. There's more people that need some help because of the economy. And if I remember right, Patricia, there are people that are asking for help that have never, some of which, have never asked for help before. I'm not happy about seeing us go into this asking for 4%. This is not the last meeting we're going to have on this. This is just setting the stage. We have deliberated and deliberated for quite some time. I think there's all of us that would like to see a tax increase or propose one of zero. And let me remind you, especially in an election year, just thought I'd throw that out, but it isn't going to happen. And the comment was made earlier that, well, the stock market's coming back. The stock market will only have an effect on how it affects us here is if the state decides to share some of the income that they glean from the income taxes that the stock market is generating. There's no guarantee of that. We've all seen, and we've all been brought to the well from time to time on this, on the largesse, the hope of largesse from the state. I was at the Danby Town Board meeting last night only to hear that the CHIPS funding was cut again, or non-existent. I think that's what we heard from Carl, that there was some, at least in his budget, it was cut, the report on doing some work on roads in Danby. My committee has to review the greatest share of this budget, as they do every year, because human services is the largest share of any part of our county budget. And I would urge every one of us to really get into it this year, looking over the numbers. If you see something in there that you want to trim, we got to have the guts to do that or propose it. And if not, let's fight for some things to add back. There are some things we can't control, and Joe has already explained a couple of them, that we just don't have any sway on. The state sets the stage on the pension costs, and we have to dance to that tune. The same thing with the health insurance. Jim went over those numbers already. I don't think we should spend a lot of time tonight talking about a half of 1%. I think we ought to give Joe and his department heads or our department heads enough sway to go through this and bring back a budget that through Joe that we can look at. You know it's going to get tweaked. We do it every year, and it's up to all of us to try to work within those parameters. So I for one, would say let's get on with it. We've set the stage. And by the way, the school district, they may have plucked $1 million out of their reserve, but there are several other propositions on that ballot tonight or earlier today. It doesn't end till 9 o'clock, asking for them to set up reserve funds to do other things with. So it isn't as if they're generating a lot more income. They have reserves that they haven't spent. So it's good that they were able to keep the proposed tax rate down. So I don't know how it is in the other school district, the other five, but in the Ithaca City School District, you get tired of smoke and mirrors once in a while. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Am I correct in assuming that this is the beginning of your 28th Tompkins County budget?
29th.
This is 29th, okay. But then who's counting?
You are.
Just checking.
Don't Jim? There are some congressional hopefuls that I think would like to have that kind of track record, don't you think?
Sure. Jim and then Pat.
Let me just say, and I'm not going to make a motion to cut off the debate, but over the last 4 years, you've never had better information for making a budget decision for some of you who've been here longer than that. What we recognized was, and we tried to do, is maintain the services. We lost some of the services, as you all know, over this time, but we've managed to maintain the services. The employers have helped us do that. And I'm not, and I understand what people talk about. It's more, it's a big number. I am not, you know, I'm not going to apologize for a four, because we've been able to manage the services in a way that people have not been, not had lost services that we used to have. We lost the CHA, but, you know, we maintain many other things. My sense, if you get into the employees number and start reducing the employees number, you're now talking about bodies again, and you're talking about programs. And yeah, we have a few left that we could get after, but that number is getting smaller and smaller all the time. I would just hope that we can support the four and move on to these other two resolutions that we'll probably add another hour.
Pat and then Mike.
There was one other thing that I had wanted to say and I didn't think of before. Part of it I mentioned, because when we vote at this time, what's going through my head is, okay, we're voting on 3.5 and 4, but what we're really saying is that we can live with probably 5 to 6. I mean, that's my guess. That's what my experience has been over the years, because we don't really mean to stick with this figure, whatever it is. We've said it's only a guideline. We can, you know, discuss all the parts of the budget as we go through it. We can add to it, or conceivably we could cut. But the instances of cutting are very, very few and far between from what I've seen. So I thoroughly expect, and I think that it's fair for the public to know at this point, that it's probably highly likely that if we vote on this, and it looks to me like the votes are here to do it, that we're really saying we're willing to raise taxes 5 to 6% for this next coming year, because that's what the end of our process will be, based on past experience, most of the time. Not every time. I agree. I understand, Jim. It hasn't always been that way. This is one of the things I do not like about our budget process. And I said this a few years ago when we were asked to make comments about the process. If I could know with assurance that what we were doing tonight was what we were going to stick with, it would make a difference in how I would vote. But I know that it's not going to be what we stick with. It just is not. There are too many needs out there. I can see them. I'm sure you can see them. So part of what I'm opposed to is the 4%, yes. But also, part of what I don't like and what I'm opposing is the process itself.
Well, Pat, I just have to say, I think that's a very, very big assumption. I do not personally have the experience of voting on a target of 4 and ending up at 5 or 6. So I'll just add that in. Jim?
I will say out loud that I will make every effort as the chair of the committee, and I know the committee will, and the full budget, and the full committee, expanded budget committee, that we will not be at 5, we will not be at 6. That would, a 5 would be double the property cap if we're really talking about it. And frankly, there's no justification for that, to be able to go that high, as far as I can see, unless the world, you know, unless the world ends between now and September, and then we're not going to care anyway. But you know, I mean, I can promise you that out loud, and if I can't deliver it, I can't deliver it. But it's going to take 7 other people to help me keep that promise.
Okay, we're kind of going around second, third, fourth times here. I wonder if there's anything
Peter, if there's anything really new, because Peter is next, then Carol and Mike, if there's anything that hasn't been said, but we have staff waiting for us and all the rest. So, Peter, you're next, if there's anything new.
No, I just asked. I had a question I asked it to Kevin. I whispered it, and I said, do you know the answer? And he said no, so I don't think I'll ask the question.
You're just going to embarrass Kevin. Okay. Carol?
Yeah, I have two questions for Joe or Kevin. One is, so that $45 on your median house price, which I will point out that the median house price in the city of Ithaca is probably a lot higher than that. But assuming that it's a $45 increase for that house, and that's where we end up with the tax levy, what percentage increase is that $45 over what people paid last year?
Well, because that number assumes a flat assessment base, I think it's 4%.
That would be 4%. Okay.
Yeah, and again, if that number moves anywhere, it'll move downward, because what we're not building into that number is any growth that may be happening in our tax base. So as that happens, remember the numerator is your levy, the denominator is the base. So if that base turns out to have grown, then the tax rate will decline, will be less. That's what you apply to the value of the home. So if that number moves anywhere, it'll move downward from $45 to something less than that.
Okay.
Did that confuse it? Well,
no. But it's just that when we talk about a 4%, the percentage increase here is on the tax levy, not on
that's correct.
The percentage that people's increase actually goes up. Those are two, they're not necessarily the same.
That's right. But for the purpose at this point in the process, you can't assume growth in your tax base, because you got to go through the review process and all that. So that's really a constant at this point in the process. As we know where that tax base lands, again, if anything, there'll be growth in that base. So the effect on a homeowner will decline from the $45 that I talked about.
Okay, and then the other thing is still back to my concern about the spread. So if we approve this 4%, what will you do in terms of our department heads? You will go back to them and say, you should give me a budget that is 3.5% above what each of your last year's budget, or would you be exercising some discretion as to which departments you thought had how much?
Well, the approach is kind of right, but the arithmetic is a little different. We would be asking the departments to cut spending by $201,000 next year, and let me qualify that. The way we do this is it's a maintenance of effort budget. So the first calculation is, what will it take the departments to do the same thing next year that they're doing this year? So we build in growth for negotiated wage increases and benefit increases. And then we look at how that compares to the levy that you'll set tonight. And based on that, we say you will need to cut, in this case, $200,000 from that base to be able to meet your targets. So we will be telling the departments again, in your next resolution, in fact, that's what it does. It says to departments, you have to cut about a half a percent off the top of your spending.
So I think what I'm asking is, are you going to take an across-the-board approach, or are you going to use some discretion if, you know, if as Frank is pointing out, there's going to be bigger needs in social services, you know, will you take that into account as you set your various...
Our process is you begin with across-the-board. So everybody takes a cut proportionate to their share of the budget. You have given me the authority in your resolutions to decide. We may need to take target money from Department A and give it to Department B if the needs are great. I have used that on a very limited way in the past. You recall when we did. We took money from youth and moved it elsewhere. So that is within the latitude that you've given me. But, again, I use that very carefully, if at all. So the starting point is an across-the-board cut.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the part of the process that I'm having a lot of trouble with, because it just assumes that what we've done a decade ago is the same proportion among our departments we need to be using now. And it leaves us no room, not enough room for anything that's come up in years.
In fact, I don't think that's quite true. We have taken, and that's a tool we can use. There's no reason that, you know, it's just up to Joe. We can absolutely propose base cuts, and I've seen us do it. We've cut highway, we've cut youth in the base in order to backfill other things. So that's obviously up to us. I've got Mike, Jim, and then Brian.
I'd ask the question, please.
Call the question. Is there a second? Brian seconds calling the question. All in favor of cutting off debate? All in favor of calling the question?
Aye.
Opposed? 11-3. So that's the question is called. What we have is the main motion as... Well, you know, I've got so many notes on it. I'm trying to figure out what it is. The main motion with Dooley's language that was changed, you know, that was brought forth by Jim with the change of justifiable in line 40, and the numbers remain as in the main motion. Right? Is that right? Okay. All in favor of the main motion, please raise your hand.
Aye.
So I can see hands going up and down. Hands stay up, please. Opposed? That passes 10-4. Thank you, Jim. You have another next one.
Establishment of guidelines and fiscal targets for all county budgeting units for the preparation of the 2014 budget. And I would move that.
Seconded by Leslin. This is kind of just doing what we said a lot to do. Dooley.
I asked Joe to prepare a list of agencies which are referred to in the resolution, the part number one, because I wasn't sure which of our many entities were included in that portion. So you should find that in your red folders.
Okay. I saw somebody. Jim, were you? Somebody else had their hand up. Is it Jim?
I'm sorry. I had my hand up.
Yeah, Jim.
Obviously, I would like us to support that. I just want to give a number. Last year, the county administrator, we told the office and Joe present 3.5. Our levy last year was 3.69 at the end of the year.
Okay. Brian.
I would think that passage of this resolution is necessary based on the resolution we just passed. So I don't know if there needs to be a whole lot of discussion on this one. That's just me.
When have we ever done anything like that?
I'm not seeing a lot of hands, and that's good. So we're ready to vote. Resolution J. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. That passes 12-1. Right? 12-1. Nathan and Leslin are gone. Okay. Thank you.
Next one, resolution A, authorizing public hearing on proposed local law number B of 2013, a local law overriding the tax levy limit for 2014.
Second by Mike.
I would move that.
Second by Mike. Discussion. Kathy Luce and Dooley.
I'm not really willing to support this at this time. I know that for many people they feel that it's an important part of the process. I'd rather wait till later. I think it's a step in the process that can wait till later. Other people disagree, and I'm fine with that. I just need to vote my conscience on this one.
Okay, Dooley, Brian, Carol, Peter.
Did you call me?
Yeah. You're next. Yep.
If if we act on this tonight, I hope it will include the following, and I will move the following. Two additional whereases. After the first whereas, add whereas information from New York State that enables counties, that enables the calculation of our county's 2014 property tax cap is not available until late summer. And another whereas that says, whereas in the event the county's annual tax cap levy exceeds the allowable tax levy limit due to clerical or technical errors, New York State has the authority to penalize our county unless we have already formally given ourselves permission to exceed the tax cap. So I'm just trying to flesh out for public understanding. And I moved both of those.
Okay, moved by Julie, second by Frank. And that would be a new second and a third, whereas?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I've got Brian, Carol, and Peter, and you can talk on that or whatever else. Brian?
Yeah. Did kind of lose my train of thought after that one. But just that, I mean, we always speak about transparency and all that. We're kicking numbers around in our target, which there is no way we could ever cut based on that to even approach what our adjusted tax cap is. So, I mean, let's just put it out there right at the beginning. I mean, it's true. It can wait. But I see no reason to wait, personally.
Thank you, Brian. Carol, Peter, and did you have your hand up, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
Mine's on the main motion. Do you want me to wait?
All right, we'll come back. Yeah. Peter, on main motion or the amendment?
Are you calling for questions on the amendment?
The amendment is really what's
yeah,
up.
Well, then I don't want to say anything on the
amendment. Can you read the amendment again?
Okay. Can I be on your list for the main motion when you get back to it?
Mike, you on the main motion or the amendment?
I was on the main motion, so
okay. Dooley, would you read your additions again?
After the first whereas, insert whereas information from New York State that enables calculation of the county's 2014 property tax cap is not available until late summer. And the other one says, whereas in the event the county's annual tax levy exceeds the allowable tax levy limit due to clerical or technical errors, New York State has the authority to penalize our county unless we have already formally given ourselves permission to exceed the tax cap.
I would just say, I think those are excellent additions, and we should sort of make those part of the boilerplate if we do this every year. I think it is really, both of those are very true and are part of the reason that we should just always do this, I think. Is there any other discussion on the amendments? Ready to vote. All in favor of adding that language? Please raise your hand. Opposed? I see 11 to 2 that passes. So that's now in the main motion. So back to the main motion. Carol, Peter, and Mike.
Yeah, I support the main motion. I just don't think it's up to New York State to set our tax levy. Of course we should be holding a public hearing to get approval from our residents to go ahead and say this is our responsibility, not New York State's responsibility, and so I don't see any reason not to proceed because I do think it's our responsibility.
Thank you, Carol. Peter.
I will vote against this resolution using the same argument that Kathy Lucerer did.
Okay. Thank you. Mike?
I will support this. I disagree with Carol. The state of New York has the constitutional authority to tell us to do this one way or the other. We don't have to like it. But it also said to us when it passed the tax cap law that we could look at the possibility of passing a local law to override. We did that in the last 2 years. About the same time, municipality after municipality after municipality, towns and villages and cities are doing this so that they're protected when it comes audit time, so that they don't get bitten by having calculated the wrong tax cap and end up having to pay a penalty the following year. We're doing this as a protection. Last year, we did the same thing, and we did not exceed the tax cap. This year, who knows? We may. But we don't want to have that nasty audit provision from the state come along after we've closed out the year and find out we've got to start with a negative figure next year.
Thank you, Mike. Frank?
Thank you, Martha. Unless I read this incorrectly, this vote is just to set the public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not to approve a tax cap. That's simply all it is. Mm-hmm. And I think we should do it. Thank you.
Good, Frank, because I was going to say that if nobody else did. Anybody else?
It's scary, isn't it, Martha? We're agreeing.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
So with the changes, the additions that have been made, are ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution K, please raise your hand. Opposed. That's 9-3, that passes. I'm having trouble with my math today. 9-3, that passes. Jim, is that?
I believe that ends my report. We have a meeting the 29th at 4 p.m.
Okay. All right.
Thank you all, and County Administrator, and now we have ruined it summer, frankly.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim. It was 10-3, right? It's 10-3. All right, with that last resolution. All right, thank you all very much. And now I would just say to Rick Snyder, this is how it starts. So this is Rick Snyder, would just introduce to the public, is our new finance director. Overlapping with David Squires, we are very, very, very pleased to have you, and I'm sure that was going to come up later in the meeting, probably Joe's report, but I just wanted to say. So this is how we get going. But Jim?
Bring him up to the microphone so that he can, folks in the TV land can see him.
All right, Jim. While Graham and Arel get going, get set up. Rick, would you want to just come and say hello? Rick Snyder, welcome.
Thank you for the warm invitation, and I'm glad to see the process get started. And I thought, boy, that was easy.
No, we're just getting warmed up. So, but I think I would agree with Jim with one of the things that he said, that we have a tremendous amount of information, and the public has a tremendous amount of information if they desire to pay attention to it. And this process may seem lengthy, but it's a good process, and I think that we could be proud of it. So. All right. Thanks very much. So, Arel or Graham, welcome.
Good evening. I'll get things started. It's actually been some time for us to get here to do this final report on the Center of Government business case analysis. I was just mentioning Graham was actually scheduled for December 20th of 2011, but because there are other priorities that came up, this just kept putting back, and we're glad to be finally here to do a final report on the business case analysis that was done by Holt Architects. This whole process started a couple of years ago. We issued a request for qualifications. We had four firms submit, all of them local. Two we interviewed, and then we awarded the contract to Holt Architects. That actually begun a very nice relationship with Holt Architects. Since that they did that study, they've done two other projects, and the one that you're most aware of is the legislature relocation project that is due to be completed early July, and they completed the Human Services Annex project early this year. They started this study, the business case analysis, May of 2011, and concluded it by doing a final presentation to the Capital Plan Review Committee meeting, November of 2011. And as I said, it was planned to do a presentation that following month, but other things came up and have come up since, and so we're glad to be here finally to do a final report. I will turn the balance of the time over to Graham Gillespie, president of Holt Architects, to take us through the results of the business case analysis was done for the center of government. Graham?
I will try to make this as succinct and brief as possible. But first I wanted to send a big thank you to Joe for his weekend work to make this as comprehensible as possible. So, simply stated, this was the goal we went into this study with the emphasis on cost effectiveness. And again, this was the basic premise that we thought might play out, but was the basis for the study, and so that we were going to test this, and we were be able to gain efficiencies in space, staff, and energy systems within the buildings. Major study elements, whether the there was a significant difference between using the existing buildings or building a new building for a center of government, what would be the value of the space vacated by the county in terms of buildings that you've already owned, and starting looking at the unique features, both pro and con of the buildings, and what that effect on potential sales might have been. And looking at the, and then positing that against the current condition of the existing buildings, which in all respects, or most respects, is actually very good. I think a testament to your facilities department. And then lastly, just looking at synergies that could possibly be gained by consolidation. Our team looked at their various areas of expertise, and I wanted to make a special recognition for Jeff Gorski and Andy Schrava Sr. For taking all the team's input and compiling it into a spreadsheet that was about a mile long. Just as a reminder, setting the context, these are the buildings that were in the study, Old Jail, now Tompkins Courthouse, Building C, and the Old Library. And these were the drivers, the courts, and the desire to vacate programs from the Old Library, and the other departments that came into play in the study. Other leased space, DMV, for instance, others were going to stay as is and were not part of the study. And then we looked at several options, and we brought forward these basic four. There were others that fell by the wayside fairly quickly, but we concentrated the efforts on these four: large center of government, small, with preserving the courthouse, and two options for Building C.
Graham, if I might say, you don't have to go that fast. I think this is dense material, and the Capital Plan Review Committee, we know what you're talking about, but so, you know, go ahead and explain these options, because it's important.
Thank you, Martha. Yeah, in fact, what I'll do is each of these options is broken down into some more detail in the next few slides, and then there's a comparison of the options at the end. But in terms of the center of government's new construction or new construction with one building option preserved, recognizing some of the unique attributes of the little courthouse or the Tompkins Courthouse, and then for Building C, some options for expanding that building because of the available space next door to it. already attached to it. And if I am going too fast, please just raise your hand and I'll stop and we'll fill in some detail. So the new center of government, and this was, again, we targeted the old library site because it was already owned by the county, and there was no land acquisition cost that was going to raise that overall price to develop. In the large center of government option, all the departments come into the new building. That's sort of that great consolidation and hope for synergy. CJC moved over to the Human Services Annex, and the three remaining buildings were sold as a way of raising revenue, and human rights was brought also into the fold, so to speak. So those were the departments now in one central building, most likely targeted for the old library site. Each of the options that we go forward reviewing has this sort of breakdown. So, we'll consolidate that into a comparison at the end. What this represents is the construction of the new building. In this case, renovations actually represents demolition of the existing old library for a total cost. And that's that represents a project cost, not just construction. So there would be other items like design team fees, furniture, fixtures, equipment, contingencies, and the like included in that. The 20-year life cycle cost represents that cost, plus some debt service financing costs, lease renovations, some leases ongoing, such as HR, human rights, and CJC, for instance, and energy and maintenance costs taken forward. Savings, or in this case, sales, any leases that were up, and any taxes on buildings sold being regained. Second option is a smaller center of government. Again, a new construction on the old library site, but still, or actually recognizing the attribute of the Tompkins Courthouse next door, across the street. So again, legislature and human rights was populated the Tompkins Courthouse, and the other departments are consolidated in the smaller center of government. CJC moves to Human Services Annex, and Old Jail and Building C are then sold. And again, Human Rights moves over. So Legislature and Human Rights are in the Tompkins Courthouse, and the others are consolidated in the new building. So this played out to construction of about 15.5. Again, some of the same cost renovations of the first and the second floor of the courthouse to accommodate legislature offices, also partially downstairs.
Sir, can I? So for each of these options, you've assumed that you've already sold the relevant buildings for that option.
Right. So in the savings line item under the 20-year life cycle cost, that's what's being gained. That and some other smaller costs. Yep. To try to get to that net cost so that we can compare those.
So the renovations, that's demolition plus the renovating the courthouse for legislature and human rights. Is that right? That's 3.1.
Okay. Yes, and that's on the upper floor and lower. So, I'm sorry, option three, expansion of Building C. So this was a three-story addition to Building C, and that accomplished these moves. Again, legislature, human rights, the courthouse, planning, and ITC come over and populate that expansion with Building C. The existing departments that are already in Building C would remain. these departments would be in that addition. CJC moves the annex again. All others, whether in the jail, the old jail, would stay in place. Sorry, Carol, did you have a question?
No, I'll wait till the end for the others.
Okay. And in this case, the old library is sold. We're not looking at that as a home for any departments at this point. This option with the three-story expansion, renovations for Building C, the courthouse, and old jail, costs renovation, again, leases similar to the previous options. Savings would be sale of the old library, any leases taken back, and taxes on property that's now put into the private realm. And the last of the major options that we looked at was a smaller expansion of Building C, just a two-story addition, but same basic approach. Legislature, Human Rights, the courthouse, planning ITC. Difference here is COFA is moving to a Human Services Annex, and we did not, under the two-story option, have a home for CJC in this case. Still be out there. So we carried a cost under construction for about $1.5 million for acquiring a site or a home for CJC. Renovations, again, Building C, courthouse, old jail. Same basic costs, savings, sale of the old library, lease get backs, and taxes gained back. So for the four options, this is the sort of basic cost comparison. You see the net costs sort of ranked there, but again, the difference between the three-story and the two-story was whether CJC was included in the mix. From that basic study, these were the conclusions we reached, that because of we didn't need to build a lot of additional space, that there was nowhere low growth for staff projections. The new building center of government for everybody just didn't seem to be justified. We did recognize that the character of the Tompkins Courthouse was unique. It was well suited for a public space. That also factored into what we thought a sales price could be. How could it be repurposed? It's an existing condition that many of the buildings themselves are actually tethered together mechanically. So we thought that would also be an impact on the sales of trying to separate them out and repurpose them or sell them. And then finally, the conclusion was that the three-story expansion of Building C seemed most cost-effective if we wanted to look at all of the different departments having a home. But now you've actually moved on. You've actually moved beyond that, those four options and that conclusion. You've put into place a plan right now that includes keeping planning in the ITC on the first floor and incorporating the legislative offices on the main floor with the public space, the chambers for the legislature, in the Tompkins Courthouse. And at least that's the situation we're in right now. So that also allowed COFA to move into the Human Services Annex that they went in there earlier this year. It does not, the salient point here is it doesn't resolve the CJC issue, but that is being worked on as we speak. So looking at the plan in place right now, if we just look at the construction, again, We did include about $1.5 million for some resolution of CJC. The renovations of Old Jail Building C, the courthouse at actual cost of what that project is now to move you over there. Hopefully within a month or so, looks like it's happening. And then netting out that actual cost and anticipating sale of Old Library and, again, some tax gain and putting that into the mix, this is the actual plan in line with the other four options. And it does seem that from, again, a fiscal standpoint, seems to be the plan that most people were comfortable with pursuing and what you've actually put in place. So that's sort of just a real quick summary. And if there are any other questions, I can certainly backtrack.
Thank you very much, Graham. And by the way, thanks for wading through our whole budget presentation and discussion. If I can, I'm a little confused on the numbers. The actual plan, 9.4 million, that includes everything we did in the Human Services Annex for COFA, right? I mean, tell me again what that includes.
So that is renovations that are going on or are planned for Old Jail Building C, Tompkins Courthouse at that 1.2 million cost right now.
And I believe the COFA Human Service Annex cost were kind of, I don't know that was recognized in any of these because that project had already moved forward.
Right.
So none of the costs that you saw in those other plans reflected COFA's move into the annex. Had COFA come back to the downtown complex or in the COG and the annex had to be renovated or changed for Community Justice Center, that, I think, was picked up in some of the numbers. So, again, the annex cost itself isn't in any of the numbers that you've seen. What you see on the bottom line in this chart, though, if you go to that last chart, is basically kind of what was going to be incurred for some of the expansions of Building C, except for the fact you take out the cost of expanding Building C. And if you recall, the original plans for the old courthouse, now the Tompkins Courthouse, not only renovated where the legislature is going, but it had to also renovate the ground floor because you were changing the use of it. Staff was coming down, mixing up tenancies. So the cost even of the old courthouse project was much higher than what it now will be. So that went from, I think, $2 million or a little more down to 1.2, which is what you're actually spending.
Okay, but I don't know. I don't see 1.2 anywhere on here, and we're not actually doing $9.4 million of anything, right?
Well, can we speak to that?
Sure. I mean, when we were comparing the renovations for all of the different buildings, that's what's built in. If we were going, because we were trying to compare that to a new center, to a new building, what would it take in each of those buildings to bring those systems up? In actual fact, you don't have to do it, all of that. Rel has a plan that he's putting forward to do that in stages. But if we wanted to compare those buildings to a new center of government, we included the renovations of those buildings.
Okay. This is the hypothetical number for 20 years to get all of our buildings up to 20-year, life cycle, 20-year, acceptability.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Because I'm concerned that anybody looking at this says, oh my gosh, they're spending $9.5 million. No, we're not. This is if we actually calculate everything we have to do for 20 years. Right. These are different flavors of how we solve the 20-year problem, right? So we have never voted to spend $9.4 million, but perhaps over the next 20 years there will be upgrades to Building C and upgrades to the old jail that if you're being honest about the entire calculation, you have to include that. Because if instead, all right, let me just hang with me a minute.
Sure.
If instead we sold Building C in the old jail and moved everybody into the new building, then you wouldn't have a lot of maintenance for the first 20 years. By keeping the old buildings, we will have some maintenance. So what you're saying is you're trying to do an apples-to-apples comparison of the different scenarios. Okay, so just so nobody misunderstands, we have not decided and we have not spent $9.4 million. I want to make sure the media gets that right. That's all I wanted to say. Pam.
Yes, I too am. I'm not quite sure why we're doing this. I mean, why we have decided not to do these things at this point.
The point was we had the Capital Plan Review Committee has we've met for almost four years now, and so we went through this whole thought process and made a lot of decisions along the way, but we had a brief report to this body before we decided to move into the old library, into the old courthouse, for us to move. We did report to this body and then this body did vote why we were going to move into the old courthouse on the second floor instead of pursue a new building at the old library site. We never really fully reported on the whole thought process that the committee had gone through.
So this is basically saying we're not going to do this. Let's vote we're not going to do this. Is that where we are, really? It just feels...
Yes, it's just a fuller explanation.
I will have to say that as somebody who was not on that committee, I did feel a lack of information on what was going on, but I feel a certain... whatever, that all of a sudden I'm now being presented with this. Obviously, there was a lot of information there, and that we're not doing this, so why bother? I don't get it.
Mike, do you want to take a shot at that?
Yeah, I want to thank Graham for this presentation, and I think you've got it right, Pam. We want to put this study to bed. We thought it was very important to do this. First, when Martha was chairing the committee, and I've been chairing the committee, and all the folks that have worked on that, because many of us said, what if we just build a new building? And when the study was done, it cost an awful lot more money than some of us were probably thinking about. And in these economic times, we couldn't, as a committee, bring forth a resolution to tear down the old library and build a new center of government building that's going to cost over $20 million. Folks here wouldn't have approved that, and certainly the people on the committee didn't want to do that. But the work was done. It was responsibly put forward, responsibly responded to by our consultants. And it's time, as we do with many reports, is to accept that report and have it, because someday we may pull this out and work on this again. Who knows? But for now, we need to say we did this, we did the study, and we need to move on. We bought the Human Services Annex building to put COFA in. We decided on the renovations of the old courthouse. We know it hasn't solved the problem yet of day reporting. We've got to figure out how that community justice program can be accommodated somewhere else. Hasn't solved the problem of the human rights office. But these kinds of things are not going to cost us $20 million, but they're still going to have to be looked at. So I think that what's happened, if you look at the proposed resolution, we haven't got to that point on the agenda, and I want to thank Joe for crafting this resolution. It's really a roadmap of what we did to get to this point with Hold Architects.
Could I just have a quick follow-up?
Sure.
I no way was this a criticism of Hold, and work that you have done.
No.
And really, I think that your committee has done a huge amount of work. it was just a moment of frustration because over this time period, I was unable to go to those meetings, and I have felt that I wasn't getting a real big picture of what has been going on. So I really.
No, I didn't hear your comments that way.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you didn't.
And I'll get to Kathy, Lewis, and Peter in a second, but to finish, this is not like we haven't brought this to the legislature in the appropriate pieces of information, the appropriate time. We've certainly reported that it was the conclusion of our committee it was sort of a fork in the road, and we said, okay, we've really looked at this. There's no economic justification. There's no business case for a new center of government. So here's what we propose to do, and that's why we went down the other roads all this time. Joe, did you want to say anything else about that?
Not about that, no, but I guess since you recognize me, I think it's really important to look at the bottom line and to realize we didn't stop working after the report was done. I mean, the report put us in a certain direction that suggested a three-story expansion of Building C is the best option, but the committee didn't stop at that point. Instead, looked at other options. And when you look at where we are today with the actual plan and compare that to the cost of the most cost-effective option reviewed, we're saving the taxpayers $2.6 million in net present value over the course of the next 20 years compared to the cheapest, most cost-effective of the alternatives we looked at during the report. So in terms of your move to new quarters, in terms of moving the staff up to the second floor, there's been some cost incurred to do that. But when you look at the net effect on bottom line, from the taxpayer's perspective, again, it's a $2.6 million net save to the taxpayers.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Joe. I've got Kathy, Lewis, Peter, Carol, Jim.
Thanks. The flip answer to the question, why are you showing us all this, is, look, we had to suffer through it. We wanted you to suffer some of it, too. I've served on the Space Needs Committees, a couple of iterations of that, and I got to serve on Capital Plan Review. And as a facilities person, I love thinking about all these different iterations, and we certainly put Holt through the ringer and, you know, asking, what about this, what about this, trying to figure out how to serve the community, but also how to save money and to come up with something that would last us, because after all, you can build cheap, but then it's not going to last you. So in particular, I like the 20-year life cycle because it did provide a way of comparison, and there's a way that throughout all this, even though all you got to see was maybe the minutes and some pictures and stuff, we were being pretty rigorous, and I love that the thing exists because it shows our thought processes, and also it can be sort of a template for folks that are going forward and trying to figure out, okay, now how do we do this? Well, do we want to do a center of government? Well, here's some of the things we can consider. Even though it could be 10 years from now, there will be a way for people to notice what sort of things can be considered. Personally, I always love building new buildings, but anybody that looked at the numbers the way that we did and looked at the possibilities the way that we did could see that it wasn't our best option, not just in the time of economic downturn, but just not our best option at the time. So I got to give lots of praise to everybody involved in it. As rigorous as it was, I think that there was a lot of education along the way. Certainly, I learned a lot. And even though I'm not on the committee anymore, you know, you got my total support for it. And not just because, you know, you included those seven scenarios that I wanted included. But it's well done.
Thank you, Kathy Lewis. Peter, Carol, Jim, Pat.
Yeah, very quickly, I understand the need for closure. I've heard that word used a lot, and that sounds reasonable. It was a project, and someone like me might ask, whatever happened to the center of government? Well, now I know, okay? It's the closure has finished that. But I guess the question that lurks in my mind is that we didn't do the center of government. I see it. You know, the numbers that I saw were $20 million up there. And as near as I can tell, we've met all our needs with the exception of the community justice and maybe the human rights building, or maybe we don't have to meet the needs of the human rights. We can keep going on the way we are. But I would be interested in knowing how much, you know, if you add together how much money we actually spent on the projects that we did, and then add to it the expected cost for solving this community justice problem and the human rights problem, and then compare that to $20 million. That would be interesting to see that. Maybe that's all done in there, and I missed it. But I would be interested in knowing that number. Did I make myself clear?
So would that be like the middle column? I mean, just the actual. If we actually built the center of government, we're talking the large center of government. We're talking 20.3, even when you net out sales of the buildings we vacate. But never mind the 20 year. Is that? I mean, what we're actually spending is, Joe. If
we're talking about just human services annex and legislature relocation, are the two things that we had to do, and that's basically renovation and new construction. And
it's 2.5.
Yeah, and the addition for CJC at the Human Services Building. I mean, that's essentially anything that's happening. The rest is in the maintenance program that facilities has it ongoing.
That's right. Yeah. So the sum of those two buildings, Human Service Annex was $1.3 million, as I recall.
Yeah.
And then the Tompkins Courthouse is $1.2 million. So in terms of out-of-pocket construction money, it's $2.5 million. So that's what we've invested. But what the value of this project or this study was, it recognizes that you don't stop, that over the course of time you're going to have to put renovations into the old jail, and it accounted for that.
Sure.
So it didn't ignore those costs.
No, yeah.
To be able to favor something, you know, another option. But yeah, out of pocket, $2.5 million.
Okay, Carol, Jim, Pat.
Yeah, I also want to thank Graham. You really were a pleasure to work with and have been over all of these projects. I spent some time on this committee, and I didn't get the final report, the more complete version of this that you must have given to the committee. But I did want to add that what was an interesting aha moment, I thought, during my time on the committee was, I mean, we knew it would be expensive to do a large center of government. And then the idea came, it was raised, well, why not just add an addition to that building C? That's obviously got to be a lot less expensive. And the aha moment was pricing that out and finding out, look, you know, it's really not, wouldn't have been enough less expensive to justify doing it. So that was one aha moment that I just wanted to pass along to people. In terms of the numbers on here, I'm a little taken aback by that somehow, if this is going to become part of the permanent record, if it's going to be in our minutes, and we're presenting it as $9.4 million of spending, it just doesn't feel accurate without a note. So that I'd like to move to amend this document, or to ask Holt to amend it, to really indicate that the actual plan, that it was a base level of anticipated spending over 20 years on the buildings that we have, or some kind of note that would be appropriate to make clearer what that is rather than a decision to spend an additional $9.4 million over maintenance.
Sure. I mean, the heading on the one column is 20-year life cycle cost, net value. So that's the top part of this slide is those construction costs, but the 20-year life cycle is summarized there. That spreadsheet that I referred to has all that information, what your missed cost, year 1, year 10, 15, and 20. So that information is in
right.
there.
It's in your report.
Right. Yeah, the okay. committee's record.
So whatever goes into our record for the legislature minutes, that it somehow be clearer.
Well, I don't think this is going to go into the. This is not going to go into the legislature's minutes. The committee's records has the full and it's long report, very very detailed report.
And then the other part that wasn't clear to me at first was the question I asked earlier on. It make it clearer that each of the net costs. I mean, center of government was going to cost more than $20 million. $20 million, we only got to that after we subtracted the sale of some of the other buildings, so
right,
that it's a net.
Right.
That was
net
a net cost
right.
rather than a total cost.
Right.
So maybe also to note that somewhere. Just a suggestion. That you can take or reject. Thanks.
Jim and then Pat.
Actually, thank you very much for putting this together this way. And I'm just going to make a prediction. 25 years from now, no one is going to say, how come they didn't spend $20.9 million on a new building when they could get it for half that price? So, and still do the functions of government. The only thing that I'm reminded of, the world changed in 08, 09, and that had a distinct impact on what we were looking at and what we were thinking about. We were thinking about one thing at one time, and we had to change our view. I think it's a good job and appreciate it very much.
Pat?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank the committee and the team that worked on this. And I do appreciate getting this information and hearing about it. I did have a question, but it was exactly what Peter asked, so I don't need to ask it. Thank you.
Okay, I would like to add a couple sort of qualitative items here. There was an aha moment for me when Miles came and talked. I think it was with the clerk staff, and we were talking about the old court, the Tompkins Courthouse, and if that were on the market, if that were to be sold, and to make this really work, you'd have to sell all of our other buildings, and still obviously didn't work. The question was, well, what would anybody do with that courthouse? I mean, you could imagine people would figure out what to, you know, you could use the office space, but the chambers that we're going to go into, and if you haven't been there, you really should go. It's beautiful. The chambers that we're going to go into, there was really no conceivable sort of free market, no market way to use that space, and any new construction that we would do to make a chambers would by definition be building something instead of using something we already had. So something that we already had that probably wasn't going to sell for the true value on the market. So for me, that was sort of a qualitative moment when I said, look, like it really doesn't make any sense aside from the historic value and the other issues there. The other issues of the connections of the heating and cooling and water between the old jail and the courthouse and also to this building, so that made it more complicated than you'd imagine to sell the old jail, for example. So there were a couple of, aside from the numbers, a couple of conceptual points where I said, okay, this seems to really be the way to go. So again, thank you to you and your whole staff that really marched us through this whole long thing. So, Andy, I was just wondering if the media has any questions at this point.
No, I'm just sitting in the line.
All right. Well, check in with Joe before you hit send on your report. It's very complicated. Mike Dooley.
A tiny bit of negativity. The placement of the legislative staff and the legislature on one floor of the building, the old courthouse, is, in my view, not a permanent solution. It's a near-term solution. It's not ideal. And when we decided to move, I think that was acknowledged. It's no complaint about anything that Holt did or anybody else, but it's not quite having everything as solved as it seemed to feel as I heard comments going around. I'm sorry that you all didn't get a chance to make your presentation at the end of 2011 when people were much more focused on it. But I thought this was very interesting tonight, and I very much enjoyed the time on the Capital Plan Review Committee. Along with other members, I learned a lot, and it was fun to hear, as you said, Martha, the architects and the other analysts' points that we probably would not have recognized by ourselves. So thanks.
Well, not to say that the committee's work is finished, but and I would say, have you been over there yet, Dooley? Have you seen it recently?
Finally, yes.
Okay.
And it's not really Wedgwood blue, but it's a nice blue.
Okay. Is it green?
No. Mike, do you want to take Resolution H?
Yes, but before I do, I just want to make sure that we don't forget how much work Aurel Lamaro did with this project, too.
Absolutely.
And just trying to put together facts and figures so that the architects could have that is a lot of work.
Yes.
Having said that, I'd like to move accepting the Center of Government project business case analysis prepared by Hold Architects and extending thanks to all who contributed to the report. That's Resolution H, Docket ID 4115.
All right, seconded by Dooley. Discussion of the resolution.
It's an amazingly well-written resolution that compresses an awful lot of stuff. We hired the right administrator.
I'm waiting for the change, Dooley.
Nope.
Joe.
I'm announcing my retirement tonight. I hit my pinnacle.
Awesome. Great. Any discussion? All in favor of Resolution H, please raise your hand.
Aye.
That's unanimous. Thank you so much. I think that is kind of closure and time for a recess, too. But, Graham, it's really been a pleasure to work with you and your whole staff. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Did Graham have some pictures to show us of the renovations at the old courthouse? Is that going to happen?
Are they? You got them in the that'd be great.
The desks were put up. They started putting them up today. So we took some pictures earlier today, and we thought we'd show you what you'll be in about a month and a half. We're hoping that by July 16th, the legislature meeting there, we will have in the new building.
Let me just also say about Holt and the contract. The original scope of work is in shreds on the floor somewhere. We kept changing what we wanted to have done, and Holt just stayed with us the whole way. So, wow.
What color is that, Martha?
That is a handsome blue. See, it is off center.
Well, no, that's just the picture.
All right. Wow.
We ran out of money before we.
Okay, we're going to get some plywood on the top. That's good. Right. And who did the millwork? Who do we have the name of the company?
Artistry.
They
did the millwork for the library back in 2000 as well.
Okay. Artistry in wood from
Artistry in wood out of Syracuse. Same company that did all the millwork for the library back in 2000.
That's really beautiful. Okay. Well, we're going to look at it for a while. So I think we're also going to have a countdown of how many more meetings will be in this room. I think we are fewer than can fit on a hand, although, you know, knock on wood. We also need to plan, I think, some appropriate marker of moving out of this room and welcoming the public to the chambers when we move over to the new chambers. So, Mike?
I think that's a great idea. I'd like to see us have a small ceremony at the end of the last meeting here in which we retire our flags and take down the county seal. Excellent. And just the reverse when we start the first meeting in the new chambers.
Sounds great. All right. Thank you all very much. Let us take a 10-minute recess and come back and be in your seats at 5 of 8.